Second hour, Darren Donica Chase here on this Friday. Hope everybody's having a great day to this point. Darren McFarland, Willie Donick here in Nashville. Chase McCabe down at 680 in Atlanta, which looks at Truist Park. I've been in those studios. Very nice setup. Game three of the World Series tonight. Bravos and Stros. Series tied at one. Chase's trip is brought to you by 312 Pizza Company in Germantown. Go check it out. Deep dish pizza. Big Joe on the go. We talk to him every Friday at this time. Joe, if people are looking for scores and information on tonight's big high school game tilts, where do they need to go?
Good afternoon or morning. What time is it? Hello, Darren. Anyway,
I'd love to get to the afternoon. The quicker, the better.
It's afternoon where I'm at.
That's true.
It's still morning where you are.
Just go to Main Street Preps, mainstreetpreps.com. Follow them on Twitter at Main Street Preps. All the scores, all the highlights, all the stories, everything that goes on. So Main Street Preps. And I got to say, I'm going to visit the 312 Pizza Company because the fact they sponsored my man Chase's trip to Atlanta to see his favorite team and report down there, that's just outstanding. So 312 Pizza Company, you got yourself a new customer. Thank you.
But here's the deal, Joe. Like, I've negotiated deals. Willie's negotiated deals. You've negotiated deals. We have to help Chase. Like, that is fantastic. Everything you said, all true, right? It's great, yeah. And we appreciate them. But he didn't take any 312 pizza with him down there. Like, I would have some 312 pizza with me on this trip. He didn't negotiate that.
You know what? I've had it before, and I will tell you what. I dare you to eat the whole thing in one sitting because it is so good. And it's just simply fantastic. So the fact that they're doing this with Chase, they got me forever. So thank you, 312 Pizza Company.
What are you trying to get out of 615 Podcast? Tell everybody about it.
Just different, you know, Greg Pogue and I started this, and we just wanted to get people a different take on things. The sports avenues, you guys cover the sports. You do a great job. We can't do that. And so we just kind of found another angle to more the personal touch with people than, you know, we had Rudy Kalis on, and, you know, I worked with Rudy, and Rudy talked about when he was with Dan Miller, and Dan Miller passed away in his arms. Well, I've never asked Rudy about that because I didn't feel it was my place. But Rudy says, you know, I'm an open book. We talked to Rudy about the personal side of things, and it was just, I mean, I got chills, Darren. I mean, it was amazing to hear him open up about why he thought he was meant to be there when Dan Miller passed away. And so the week before, we talked to Butch Spiridon, and, you know, I asked Butch a question about, you know, he's in all the pandemic goes on. Is there one moment where you're so involved in it that you go home and you sit at your driveway and it's like you're overwhelmed with everything? And just hear these different answers and responses, it's just really cool. So it's outside of the world of sports. It's not sports really at all. Just kind of the personal side of it. And so far, I mean, the downloads off the Rudy Kalis podcast were far more than I imagined. So I appreciate everybody doing that.
That was down at Augusta, right, at the Masters?
It was. It was. If you listen to the, it's called the official 615 podcast. And Rudy talks about going down there with Terry Bolger and the fact that day before being with Dan. Dan's from down there and everything that led up to that moment. And Rudy's talked about it. And it's, again, it'll give you chills to hear Rudy describe that night and, again, why he was meant to be there when Dan passed away.
Good stuff. I know Rudy has told that story, and I know he's told that story to us, and it just, you're right, it still gives me chills thinking about that. Probably something else that will give people chills, and you've lived this. There's going to be a lot of kids here in the mid-state that are going to suit up, and in the state, let's include everyone. They're going to suit up for the last time tonight, those seniors, Joe, and what that experience is like if, unfortunately, they don't get to play after this Friday night.
You know, that's a great thank you, Darren, with that because, you know, some of these teams aren't advancing the playoffs, and we know that a large majority of these kids, probably 80, 90%, will never play football again. I mean, they'll never put that helmet on again of their high school football team. They'll never put a helmet on again at anything with shoulder pads, jerseys. And so sometimes they ask themselves, look, you know, was all that? We didn't go to the playoffs. We win a championship. Or was it worth it? And I just wrote last night, every single second you spent preparing, playing, performing, practicing for high school football was worth it. Every single second, I wrote that in the story last night, every second you spent on that practice field, every single you got, you know, time you get put on your butt and the coach yelled at you. Every time you got on a hot school bus on a scrimmage in August to drive across Middle Tennessee to play a team and nobody's in the stands, it's worth it. To be on that same bus and drive back when you beat a football team that nobody thought you could beat and you're celebrating with your buddies, it's worth every second. So I wanted these seniors who go out tonight to know that every single second they spent playing high school football was worth it. And it might not seem like it now, but in 5 years back and the stories with your buddies and you see the coaches, trust me, it's worth every bit of this. So everybody doesn't get to win championships. Everybody doesn't get to go to the playoffs. But again, it's worth every single second, at least in my world, of playing high school football. And that can be the same for any high school sport. When you dedicate yourself and you commit yourself to it, it's a beautiful thing. So my heart goes out to those kids tonight. Just give it one last time on a Friday night, and you'll never regret it.
If you could put together the matchup, Big Joe's matchup tonight, I don't care about classification. I don't care about anything. I'm just asking you personally, a matchup that you could put together tonight and watch and cover, what would the matchup be? What would game be?
I think it's got to be Nashville Christian at Donaldson Christian, and I'll be on the front of this by saying my son plays for Donaldson Christian. He's a freshman. But with that being said, you got two of the best high school coaches in our area for years, Jeff Brothers at Nashville Christian and Paul Wade at Donaldson Christian. You got two great teams, and you got these really weird, crazy, fun storylines. Like Jeff Brothers played at Vanderbilt. He's going against DCA's star running back, Ashton Jones. Well, Jody Brothers and Ashton Jones' father, Jody Jones, were roommates together at Vanderbilt. And the DCA quarterback is former Vanderbilt football star Brad Gaines' son, Bradford Gaines. So there's all these little nuances throughout the game. And then you add the fact that both teams are 8-1. They get a win tonight. They win the region. I think Jeff Brothers is vastly underrated as a high school football coach. I think he's won state championships, but he never gets talked about that higher echelon. And so you got Jeff Brothers there. You got Paul Wade tonight. It makes for the perfect high school football game. It's going to be packed. The stadium's not gigantic, but it's going to be sold out tonight, a couple thousand there. That's what makes it special, and there's a lot on the line, and that's a huge football game tonight.
Joe, one of the things that is always crazy at this time of the year is the playoff scenarios. I can remember going through them back when Darren and I were doing those Friday night shows. It can drive you crazy, but give us a couple other key games that have playoff seeding, playoff berths on the line that people need to be aware of. I'm sure there's more than we can count, but just pick out a couple.
Well, there's a great game in Wilson County. Green Hill takes on Mount Juliet. Now, Green Hill's already won the region title tonight, but Mount Juliet's coming in, lost to Hillsboro. So a nice win tonight for them, but up their seeding in the playoffs. But at the same time, Hillsboro's going to take on Wilson Central. They've got themselves back in the playoff race there. So those are two big games tonight with playoff seeding that's on the line. Then you go to a game like Waverly at Fairview. Look, you know, our hearts went out to Waverly this year for what's going on down there. They traveled to take on Fairview tonight in what is a huge critical game for playoff seeding. So you got that as well. Clarksville at Gallatin. You know, we've talked about how the atmosphere at Gallatin, when you go up there, how amazing it is. That's another great game today, Clarksville-Gallatin. So there's little games here and there that happen. And there's one close to you, Willie. Smith County travels to take on East Nashville. And that game is for the region championship tonight. And whoever wins it takes it home. That's at East. That's a good metro game to go to. But I think the game I'm looking forward to, besides DCA and Nashville Christian, is the game between it's between Smyrna and Overton. That is the game that I'm looking forward to tonight because there's a lot on the line for second place in that region. It's a metro game. I can't wait to watch it. So those are games tonight that kind of stand out on the radar.
Big Joe Dubin, Big Joe on the go, on the line with us, talking some high school football. Okay, I'll give you another one that I'm interested in. We all know that Oakland's a buzzsaw. Saw them firsthand a few weeks ago against Riverdale. They're undefeated, but Rockvale's been an interesting story. 7-2 on the year, 3-1. Their only loss is to Riverdale. I think that's going to be a pretty good game tonight too, JoJo.
That is a good game. It's at Rockvale, and so Coach Ron Rice, we've talked about this, done a great job at Rockvale preparing that team. They're 3-1. In the region, Oakland's 4-0. Now, you look at it, Oakland probably should win this game going away, but that's what makes this game so special on Friday night. Rockville, can you imagine Rockville knocking off Oakland, heading to the playoffs? Oakland's knocked off Riverdale, Lipscomb, CPA, all those teams. I mean, you never know. That's what makes it so much fun. But the job that Coach Rice has done at Rockville is fantastic. Because, of course, Oakland's the number one seed in 6A going forward. I don't think they'll have a problem tonight. But I still, it'd be kind of cool if that game's competitive going into the fourth quarter. But I think Oakland wins that running away. But Rockville's going to make the playoffs, which is outstanding in itself. And those all start next week.
So how about Pearl Cone? Pearl Cone wins last night. They only have one loss on the year. But Pearl Cone continues to be one of those teams that I think they fly under the radar just because you expect them to do a good job, and they have the last few years.
Well, they lost a tough game to Tullahoma, so they lost the region. But, I don't want to play Pearl Cone in the playoffs. I mean, Coach Bernetti has those guys prepared, and they're just such great players. I don't want to play them. So Pearl Cone got a big win last night over at Montgomery Central, and they'll move forward going on. Tullahoma is going to wrap up the region with a win tonight. That Coach Olive at Tullahoma has a great program. And I've told you guys, go to game at Tullahoma. That is the event. That's like Garth Brooks coming to town. Everybody goes to that game, packed stadium, a lot of fun, and so much fun that goes on there. Chase, let me give you another game that's happening tonight. You know I love these little country games and these games that go on out there. Class 2A Region 4, Watertown travels to Trousdale County. Now, Trousdale County has that stadium. It's right on the creek bed. It gets cold up there. Both teams are unbeaten in the region at 4-0. Look, Watertown, fantastic program. Trousdale County, we know what they've done throughout the years. But that setting for high school football and the smoke coming off the concession stands, and you're sitting on basically on a creek bed and right there in the little situation in the stadium where it's settled in, it's a fantastic atmosphere. So that's another big game tonight as Watertown takes on Trousdale County. And for some reason, I'm extra hyped today, and I don't know why. I'm just fired up for this.
Well, I
don't know why.
I had an energy drink this morning, so that's why I'm hype. But, hey, you're hype every day, JoJo, and that's why we love you.
I am. So, again, get out and support the team tonight. And, again, God bless the high school seniors who are standing up for the last time. You guys have done fantastic, and just relish the moment tonight. Let's have a good night of high school football.
Yeah, absolutely. I was going to echo that. I read your piece on the high school seniors, and it's very, very well done. Joe, thanks so much, as always, for joining us.
Guys, I appreciate the time. We'll see you next week.
Big Joe Dubin, Main Street Media. Main Street Preps is where you can get all the high school football information. You can follow him on Twitter at Big Joe on the Go. He joins us every Friday at 11. We have much more coming, including, you just made the list, coming up at noon. Kevin Burkhart of Fox Sports is going to join us at 12:30. And, of course, pick six at 1 o'clock as you listen to Darren Donick and Chase here on ESPN 105 The Game.
Chase and Joe, we're talking about coffee. This is my coffee. Don't forget to play Silly Underdog Picks today. We did our picks yesterday. Somebody's already won a game.
Victory lap.
Yep. I'm surprised it took this long for me to bring it up. Just saying. Go, Pack, go.
I am,
go,
too.
Go, Pack, go. I did bring it up in our group text last
night. Well, did you know if – and I doubt you remember this because you're patting yourself on the back. But,
yeah, and I'm going to continue doing it.
But
I'm not done with my
When you lap. Made that pick, when you made that pick, did you not hear me go, damn? Because I did. Because that was – I was going to take that pick, but no. I knew I picked last in NFL. But I felt pretty good about it, even though I had Arizona number one in our power rankings. And I think you had Green Bay ahead of them. Mm-hmm. But, you know.
You think? I reminded you guys of our first installment of NFL Top 10 rankings. I had Green Bay 2, Arizona 3. Both of you had Arizona 1. Willie had Green Bay 6. You had Green Bay 5. And our own Elijah Campbell had the Packers 9.
Suffice to say, they might be moving up.
Nine.
You think?
And I even said, 9? What? I even made a comment, and you said their defense was atrocious.
Rushing defense is really bad. They're one of the worst in the league.
And Cardinals didn't take advantage. And it is. But the Cardinals aren't a very good running team. They didn't even have
it's
their
matchup problem.
The Packers didn't even have their defensive coordinator last night.
Maybe it's a defensive coordinator problem. Maybe it was some addition by subtraction
there.
You're
saying they got better without their DC?
Maybe. I'm not necessarily saying they got better, but I may be insinuating that it might might have helped.
They looked pretty good last night.
AJ Green was good for the Packers defense in that last drive too.
Let me just tell you, by the way, it was a good game. I enjoyed that game. It was a good back and forth game. Like every time I was right. And see, Chase, this is called, you know, this is a veteran move. I'm trying to help you, Grasshopper, okay? You have been known to send text way too early, okay? And I'm like, what are you doing? Like, don't do that. And there were a couple times I almost was ready to fire that text of basically starting the celebration.
Now,
right? Starting the dance. And I was like, let me hold off. Like, I don't. By the way, that was a touchdown. How do you feel about it? That was a touchdown. I'm sorry.
It was a touchdown.
That was the game.
It was a bad call.
That was a horrible call. That's a touchdown. That Aaron Jones was in.
The officials last night were awful.
They were awful. I agree. They were awful. That was not a good crew last night. That was an Aaron Jones touchdown. Like, give me a break. Like, what? First of all, the play on the field was a touchdown. What angle were they looking at that they were confused that he didn't get in? Like, half of his body was across the line. Like, give me a break. Like, I know the game was in Arizona, but give me a break with that call. That's when I definitely would have fired off the text. Because at that point, there was, what, 4.5 minutes to go or less? 3.5 maybe? And then they're up 10. I'm like, it's over.
It would have been ball game.
Yeah, that would have been ball game. It should have been ball game.
Yeah, they completely missed that. And you could tell Aaron was irritated about it. I thought he handled himself well in his post-game interview with Aaron Andrews, but he was very irritated by that. And so, you know, but they ended up finding a way to win. Now, let me say this. I did send a tweet a few weeks ago that now I tweet about the weather after that tweet. But I think I'm better on the text, you know, not jumping the gun. Chris Sanders takes the cake for a few weeks ago.
The poster child of too soon.
That's when you should have just live bet. As soon as Chris puts that text in there, you should have just thrown a live bet, like a fat sum for the Ravens to come back and win that game, because just know.
I may have, actually. I did. I did do that. I was like, oh, I'm taking the Ravens.
And I brought this up in the Bob Kravitz interview. Like, that night was special for us because the material that we had, the group text between Kelly Holcomb and Chris Sanders and our group, just, I mean, wailing on Chris. It was the best because he was just, you know, he was doing the touchdown dance. He was celebrating the whole game, and we're like, in fact, you know, in Kelly fashion, hey, Haas, this game is not over.
Yep. This is real quick. This is off subject, but you know this. We're all radio people. I just witnessed something hilarious. Somebody just walked in with a stack of pizza boxes, and the entire room just cleared out following that.
Oh yeah, of course. Yeah. That's so radio.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So we just had that happen here at 6.
Oh, you just thought it was our building that did that? No, that's radio.
No, yeah, our building radio. Our building is you go and you put something in the kitchen if you need it to disappear, because within 5 minutes it's gone.
Yeah, and it's not because buzzards flew into the building.
No.
No. Yeah. No, that's all of radio.
Yeah, I am the buzzard.
So, by the way, play along with us at thegamenashville.com. We want those numbers continuing to grow. The numbers have been outstanding. We have weekly winners, so if you haven't played along to this point or have just, you know, missed some weeks, don't worry about it. Play Silly Underdog Picks with us. You, the listeners, get 3 picks. So we only get 2. You get 3. And remember, your team must win the game outright. It's not against the spread. The spread is used for your points if you win the game outright. Silly Underdog Picks is presented by Volunteer Hose and Gasket. And, Green Bay, no more undefeateds. Arizona goes down. And Cliff Kingsbury, you brought up his press. I don't know if you watched the press conference afterwards, but
no, I didn't see his press conference.
He did not sidestep or back away from calling out A.J. Brown or A.J. Green.
Yeah, I mean,
he just flat out just said, yeah, that was a miscommunication. That was the right call. That was the right play. What were you looking for, coach? One-on-one coverage. We got exactly what we were looking for. That was the play, and not sure what my receiver was doing,
yeah,
basically.
No.
Because he looked like he thought it was a run play.
That's exactly what I thought. I thought that he thought it was a run play because he just looked lost on it because he turns around and here comes the ball. And then the guy that was actually on the Cardinals got picked up off the street.
The first 4 weeks.
Yeah.
And just a street guy. First 4 weeks, he was on Arizona's practice squad and out there on the street, and the Packers pick him up, and he has the game-winning interception.
Unreal.
How about that? In the end zone.
My favorite thing about A.J. Green blocking is he's blocking in the end zone, too. Like,
well, you mean blocking at the play thrown at his back?
Right. That's like the third funniest thing. Like,
all he does, if he just turns around, it's a game-winning touchdown.
He did go full Traquan Smith. Traquan Smith did that like three times in the Monday night game.
Hence why Jameis Winston was chewing him out on the sidelines.
Oh, yeah.
Well, he should have. And then you wonder, like, how's Kyler? Is he okay? He was limping pretty bad.
Yeah, he did. He did not look good. You know, I don't remember which play it was late, but yeah, he was. Oh, I think it was when he got sacked. I think it looked like maybe one of his ankles got rolled up.
I mean, he had a pretty good limp.
Yep.
Happened the next to last play, too, where he scrambled and, like, someone rolled up on it as well. He's kind of limping before that, too, but that next to last one definitely didn't help.
Yeah, so I bet that ankle's, you know, pretty swollen today with that. But, listen, this is what's so fun about the NFL this year, especially the NFC, of just how, you know, how close together some of these teams are. I mean, I'm not surprised now. There's no undefeateds. Tampa continues to play at a high level. Green Bay, Arizona, I mean, the
Tampa,
Rams.
Oh, my number one team?
Yeah. Yep. Yeah.
You're number two. Team. Willie had Tampa 4. Yeah. Just saying.
Okay.
I'm still not done. I'm not even out of breath yet.
That's
on
fine.
On my lap. I'm in pretty good shape on this victory lap.
You
are
do
the 3-4 Chiefs still your top number 10?
Chiefs are 10. Mm-hmm. I was the only one who had the Chiefs in the top 10. I had them at 10.
I had the Chargers 10, but I kind of regret that now.
Why?
The more I've thought about it, I'm like,
the Chargers have beaten the Chiefs.
They have. I know, but I have them losing to the Raiders this week, so so that'll change. Or not the Raiders, the Patriots. So that'll change. But
I was, and look, it's, you know, there's a long ways to go, and this is what's fun, is you guys will move them up next week. But yesterday when we did this, I was surprised at how low you guys had the Packers. I couldn't believe it. And by the way, if you remember, Elijah, you could pull the tape. What did I say on why I had Tampa and Green Bay 1-2? What was the reasoning that you hear me say all the time? And look how it played out last night. Didn't have his top three weapons. Top three.
No, but
best receiver in the league.
Rodgers and Brady. Skins on the wall. Been there, done that.
Elite, man. They're just. And Kyler Murray, I think, is special, but, man, he does not have the skins on the wall. Like those. Well, he doesn't have any skins on the wall. He's really good, but he hasn't been there and done it. Those two have.
What's
many,
crazy,
many, many, many times.
If you look at the NFC, you look at the NFC standings right now. I mean, obviously you have Green Bay that they're running away with that division. Arizona and LA are neck and neck. Tampa, I'm not saying is running away with the division, but they're pulling away from the Saints, and you know they're going to beat the Saints. Dallas has that division locked up, but then it's everything behind them. Like the Vikings are a playoff team at 3-3 right now.
Yep.
The Falcons are knocking on the door of being a playoff team at 3-3. There's just you have the division leaders and then LA, and then there's kind of a fall off.
Look, that's why, which is really interesting that I caught in the Bob Kravitz interview that we had in the first hour. He said, was it Quentin Nelson? I think it was Quentin Nelson, right? He said, came out this week and said, this is a must-win game for us.
Yes.
Like, you don't hear that very often, right? This is week 8. There's 17 games this year.
Right.
They've played 7 games. Okay, there's 10 more games to go, and you have a player going, this is a must win. That really grabbed my attention because that just tells you, if he's saying that, what if he's saying that publicly? What do you think they're saying privately?
Yeah, I'm sure they're saying that. I mean, and I get it. I think from their point of view, it is a must-win, because if they don't, then they're going to have to hope for the wild card, because the Titans would have all the tiebreakers against them on the division. I mean, it takes them out of the division, barring any kind of craziness that happens with the Titans. But, yeah, I mean, they certainly need to have that.
There's a reason why, and it's interesting you brought up some of those teams that are hovering that, you know, we haven't really been talking about, that maybe weren't in our top 10. But there is such a long ways to go, and this is why we do the top 10, because it's always fun. We'll keep the results every week, and we see what we watch teams just go up and down or out or in. Like teams we don't have on the radar, they're not at all out. And one of the games you're going to see on pick six in the final hour is the Browns and the Steelers. That is a huge game. Like Titans fans, I know we're going to be focused on, because it's going to be at the same time, we're going to be focused on, you know, the game in Indy. But that is a big game, because Cleveland's lost three games, and they got injury issues. And, oh, by the way, the Steelers have lost three games. And so the winner of that game is going to be in the mix. Whatever you think of Pittsburgh or Cleveland, they're going to be in the mix, at least for the time being in the AFC.
They're going to have the last spot right now.
Right.
I mean, it's so crazy that already on NFL.com you can go look at the playoff picture, and it shows you what it looks like for both conferences. But, yeah, I mean, this game is for the seventh seed right now, today, with a long way to go. But,
yeah.
But Indy's knocking on the door. Indy's right there in the mix at 3-4. The Patriots are right there in the mix. The Chiefs, obviously, are in there, and the Broncos. And then you got a major fall off from the Jets, Jags, Dolphins, and Texans, but in the AFC. But it's still wide open. And, I mean, even looking at, you know, the Bengals being the one seed, like, what? Bengals, Raiders, Titans, that's your top three seeds right now, today.
Well, none of us had the Raiders on our top 10 list. No. I just flat out said I don't believe
it. I don't either. I think they'll come down to earth. But then in the NFC, you're going to have, like, at least right now, a bad team get that last spot. You know, the Vikings at 500, or the Falcons, or the Bears. I mean, right now, it unless you have a team just come on, whether it's the 49ers or Seahawks get Russell back, which I think they kind of had some issues before Russell got hurt. You know, it's going to be a team that's not very good getting that last spot in the NFC, but that makes it fun.
There's no doubt.
I have a text that that you might be interested in on our text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. William says, please talk about how bad Kyler Murray looked on primetime and how it helps Derrick Henry's MVP campaign.
Well, to be honest, I don't know how much. I mean, if we were doing the pecking, look, this, you know, we're not the only ones. I get it. This, I know a lot of the shows on this station, we've been beating the, you know, I know I've said it many times. Every time I put it out on Twitter, like, the pushback I get from being like, oh, come on, like, Derrick Henry's running back's not going to win the MVP. Like, oh, like, really? Okay, that's fine. But, like, we're not supposed to talk about it? Like, we're not supposed to bring it up? Like, it doesn't matter whether he will. He should be in the discussion. He should be right there. I feel like when you look around, like, where was Kyler Murray in the pecking order right now of the MVP discussion? Do you have the odds in front of you?
I'm pulling them up right now. I believe he was the co-favorite going into last night. Yeah.
Oh, I didn't realize he was up there that high.
Gotta be.
What's that, Willie?
I mean, undefeated team, and playing the way he's playing, I have to believe that he was. It doesn't surprise me that he was among the favorites.
Yeah. Well, here's what's interesting. I've just pulled up BetMGM, and they currently don't have the MVP.
Oh, really?
Listed. So, let me look. Yeah, but Kyler was one of the favorites.
Well, you've got Kyler Murray, you've got Tom Brady, you've got Josh Allen, Aaron Rodgers. Yep. and like every other good quarterback in the league, because it's a quarterback-driven award.
Yeah, and I mean, Derek has moved up the last few weeks. I mean, right now, this is from 3 days ago from Odd Shark. Josh Allen was the favorite at plus 375. Kyler was plus 400. Dak plus 500. Brady plus 725. Matt Stafford plus 800. And then Rodgers at 1,200. Herbert at 1,800. Derrick Henry 22 to 1. But I know on BetMGM, he had moved up to 16 to 1 last week.
Where's Lamar Jackson?
Lamar 25 to 1.
Okay.
So he's behind Derek right now.
As he should be. I mean, Derek should be up there at the top. So to the texter's question, was it William?
Yes.
Yeah. I mean, we've said on the show many, many times, I'm not sure why Derrick Henry is not a serious, serious candidate. And we've seen him keep going up. Right, his odds keep increasing, as in getting better, as in was. I think wasn't it after the three touchdown game, he went from 40 to 22 to 1. Is that
right?
Yes.
Yeah, the Monday night game,
and then went from 22 to 1 to 16 to 1. Is that right? When we played this game on Monday.
Yes. Yeah, and right now, like,
what did you say he was right now?
He's 16 to 1.
Okay, 16 to 1.
Yeah, I just found a better place. So Lamar is at 1,200. Here's a updated. Kyler's still the favorite, according to Vegas Insider, at plus 350. Dak Prescott at plus 400. Josh Allen at plus 450. So all those guys are right there together. Yeah, I think a lot of people have forgotten about Dak. That, you know, look at what he's doing with them. Tom is plus 700, Stafford plus 800. That one's interesting because I don't think we've talked about him all that much when it comes to MVP. Mm-hmm. And then Rodgers at 10 to 1, Lamar, Derrick Henry. So Derrick Henry, obviously the first non-quarterback, but still has Lamar, Rodgers, Stafford, Brady, Allen, Prescott, and Murray ahead of him.
Stafford ahead of Derrick Henry is ridiculous. There's absolutely no way. There's no way that should be the case. I try to keep in mind that it's not an award given out. We still got over half of a season to play. We've got a long, long way to go. But if you're going to start some narrative that Matthew Stafford is more valuable than Derrick Henry, no. Not even close.
No, I agree. And you know, if he continues to do well, and you have like an instance like last night where Kyler Murray didn't look great on national TV, that can only help him. But I still don't think they're going to give him his just due just because he's not a quarterback.
Yeah. I mean, look, Stafford's had a really good year. I wouldn't like poop. And he's on a really good team. So
that's the point. He was in the final addition to a team that's already been a good team, a really good team.
Right, but I mean,
Derrick Henry is elevating his entire team.
I know, but Stafford has thrown the second most touchdowns of any quarterback. He's only behind Tom Brady. That's it. Two.
Hmm.
And he's only thrown, by the way, four picks. 19 touchdowns.
Do we need to go down Derrick Henry's stats? Derrick Henry has great stats.
I understand. Look, we're pro Derrick Henry. We've said on the show many times he deserves and belongs in that discussion without a doubt. Finalist in that discussion because he is just as important to his team as these guys we're talking about. Just as important. He just happens to play a different position.
You're going to tell Matthew Stafford's had an excellent year. It's working exactly like the Rams hoped it would work. They made the trade for him. But if you're going to tell me that he is a better player, more valuable player than Derrick Henry, it's not even close. It's not even close.
Here's why I agree, Willie, because here is the biggest difference to me. When you look up and down these quarterbacks, Kyler Murray, Brady, Stafford, Mahomes, Jackson, Rodgers, Prescott, you know, even throw Burrow in there, Derek Carr, they're all having, you know, what's what separates it? Like, they're all, like, right there, right? Like, we can go through all their numbers, and it's, like, it's all right there lumped in, like, basically the same grouping, right?
Yeah.
Well, take the number one running back, which is Derrick Henry, and then look at the rest of the pack. They're not lumped. It's not close. Like, the second
– yes.
The second running back is, like, in the rearview mirror. And then if you go to the third and the fourth and the fifth, like, it's not lumped. It's like Derrick Henry is category A. Then you start category B with running backs. That's the difference. Where when you talk about all these quarterbacks, they're all in category A.
Let me read you a list real quick. This is the rushing leaders by team in the NFL. Sunday Night Football put this out yesterday. By team. The Browns lead the way with 1193. The Titans are second at 1088. Then the Ravens, Cowboys, Cardinals, Bears, Colts, Derrick Henry by himself at 869 is ahead of the Washington Football Team and the Kansas City Chiefs. So if you ranked it like that, Derrick Henry would be eighth best in the NFL on his own when you compare teams. So if that's not an argument for why he should be MVP – I mean, who realistically, like, if you are getting a vote and you're doing a top three, who's ahead of him?
And you talking about realistic? I mean, it's just all quarterbacks.
If you're doing a realistic MVP vote,
quarterbacks, the ones we've been talking about.
I know, but like, I'm making you, like, would you put him in your top three? Like,
yes.
If you have a vote,
yes.
Okay, so
absolutely.
Who's ahead of him? If you have him in your top three,
I would put Tom Brady and Kyler Murray right now.
You'd have Murray?
Well, I mean,
what,
so is one game just –
no.
One game he's out? Just chuck
no,
him?
No, but I mean, I mean,
he's still –
I'm looking.
He still leads the league in passing yards. And
yeah.
Still throwing 17 touchdowns and 7 picks.
Squeeze Lamar Jackson in there.
I mean,
plus his legs. You know what he does with his legs.
He's 1 yard ahead of Brady in passing yards.
He's got one of the highest quarterback ratings, or maybe has the highest. So, I mean, he's still got to be in the discussion. I mean, I'm not chucking him for one game. He didn't look good last night, but I'm not. Is Derrick Henry gone for 170 every game? No.
No. I mean, Rodgers, to me, it's between Murray and Rodgers because Rodgers has only thrown 3 picks.
Personally, I would have Tom Brady and Aaron. If you're asking me, my finalists right now, if we're doing a top three finalists today, is Brady, Rodgers, and Derrick Henry. That's your list. That's me.
I would probably agree with you. As much as I love Dak, I would agree with you because I mean, you look at Rodgers, he has 17 touchdowns, but he's only thrown 3 picks.
Yep.
So
I just think that you have to look beyond the numbers with Henry, the impact he has on the game. That's what I was saying all last year too. That if you're just going to go by the stats, you're never going to have, or just the philosophy that you could never be more valuable than a quarterback, then you're never going to win the argument. But if you really look on impact on the game, that's when I think Henry should be in there.
By the way, Baker Mayfield has been given medical clearance to play.
That's big.
He's expected to start Sunday against the Steelers. We'll come back, wrap up the second hour. Don't forget, you just made the list coming up at high noon as you listen to the DDC here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Don't forget, 94.9 is the official English radio home of the Nashville Soccer Club. Listen in on Sunday as Nashville SC takes on Orlando. Pregame starts at 2:45. The match begins at 3 o'clock. Second to last game for Nashville SC before their regular season wraps up. Back here on Darren, Donick, and Chase, our show is presented by Creation CBD. Creation CBD products curated for life. Don't forget, you just made the list coming up at high noon, followed by Kevin Burkhart at the bottom of the hour. So that's at 12:30, and he is down in Atlanta where Chase is. And his trip was brought to you by 312 Pizza Company in Germantown. So game 3 of the World Series tonight.
Oh, yes. And we could have a big moment a little later in the show because I just saw an old friend of ours roaming around here at 680 The Fan, Jordan DeArmond.
Oh, yeah?
She may have to pop in here in a little bit. She's running around filming something, but she said she's going to come by.
Okay.
So good to see her.
She's living down there now?
Yep. Okay. Yeah, this is home for her.
Okay.
Obviously,
yeah. So. Right. She was a Georgia girl.
Yeah, so she's excited about the Braves tonight.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, that's good. I appreciate 312 Pizza Company and 680 The Fan for giving me a home here today as I stare at Truist Park. So,
Jets general manager Kevin Cheveldayoff will not be disciplined by the NHL.
Mm.
He met with the commissioner today in the league today. He was the assistant GM in 2010 with the Blackhawks. He will not be disciplined. So there you go. We tried to figure
out. I'd love to hear the explanation of that. I guess he just was not considered in a position of authority, not a position of leadership to be that responsible.
Well, and it goes back to what we were talking about yesterday at length. What was said at that meeting?
Yeah.
Did the general manager say, I'll take care of it? Did the general manager and the head coach say, I'll take care of it? Did the general manager and the head coach and the team president say, I'll take care of it? That if so, any of those are in play, then kind of, I would say, would exonerate the assistant GM, wouldn't it? A little bit?
Yeah.
I don't know.
Or in this case, yes, because they're saying not taking discipline.
I think there were some people that just maybe assumed that everybody in that meeting would be held accountable. But something happened in that meeting that I guess has Cheveldayoff being at a different level. I'm curious if he speaks publicly about it at some point. I'm sure everybody up in Winnipeg is very curious as to how that happened.
I don't know. I
mean,
just,
we can't know without having been in the we weren't in the meeting, so we. We don't know.
Right. We weren't in the meeting with the commissioner, and we weren't in the meeting 11 years ago either. But if he was in the meeting, like he knew something, and that's my whole thing. But I do think, you know, let's let him explain. Let's get an explanation on all of this. I think that is fair, but I just think it's interesting that nothing. It seems like he's.
Look, I agree with what you're saying, but. Don't you have to admit a little bit, even though it's hard to say this, but not is everybody considered on the same playing field? I mean, even though they're all privy to the same – so do you treat everybody the same in the same room, or does it go by title?
That's fair. That's a fair statement.
And I'm not trying to slough off, right, responsibility or slough off saying, hey – that means, you know, that exonerates you, and you should never say anything. I still think – the three of us have felt on the show that when you have knowledge, firsthand knowledge of something like this, you should make sure if nothing's getting done, you get involved. But in this case, I also understand that there is a pecking order. I mean, there's a reason. Once again, Mike Vrabel, there's a reason why people have titles. I know you questioned, you know, didn't realize not naming a DC was going to be that important, but there's a reason why people have titles. Because there is a pecking order. Just like you're the head coach, that means you're above people, okay, in the pecking order. That's why we have titles. And in that room, there were titles.
Yeah.
And he was the assistant GM. There were people in that room above him.
Let me read Bettman's statement. I just saw that. He says, quote, while on some level it would be easiest to paint everyone with any association to this terrible matter with the same broad brush, I believe that fundamental fairness requires a more in-depth analysis of the role of each person. Kevin Cheveldayoff was not a member of the Blackhawks senior leadership team in 2010, and I cannot therefore assign to him responsibility for the club's actions or inactions. He provided a full account of his degree of involvement in the matter, which was limited exclusively to his attendance at a single meeting, and I found him to be extremely forthcoming and credible in our discussion.
Okay. I mean,
end quote.
That's kind of what I'm saying. I mean, he cannot be viewed the same as everybody else. There are people that had bigger titles, made a lot more money, and they're supposed to take care of situations like that. That's why they're in that position. That's the way I look at it. You guys can disagree.
No, I can accept that.
Yeah, it's fair. It's. I think I have to look at it like this, that it's hard to, you know, you say that, well, we weren't there and we weren't. So it's like you may have one view and you want to say, well, I think this happened. But the thing is, you don't know. And that's what, and this is a really tough situation. I mean, we would, you know, rather be talking about hockey and something else, but unfortunately we're not. And so I don't envy anybody, the commissioner and on down, for having to, you know, to handle this situation. And Kyle Beach, I mean, my heart goes out to him with everything he's endured the last 11 years. But it is, you know, if this is all true and Kevin Cheveldayoff, I mean, told everything that he knew at this point, then I think you make a fair point that where he was in the pecking order at the time, if that was the only meeting he was in, then I guess this is the right decision.
By the way, David Riddick was out on the ice with the Predators today practicing. So he's been on protocol since October 16th, so a couple weeks. Looks like he's back practicing with the team. I saw Adam Vinken tweet that out. So interesting.
Good.
Could be back in the mix as the backup. All right, we'll come back with You Just Made the List, but first I'm going to talk to you about my friends over at Cool Springs MD, you know, the ones I've been talking about for years, because I've been going there for years and they've been helping me for years and they've helped a lot of you out there. I know that. And if you've got something that they could address, they can help you become healthier and happier. They can improve your quality of life, whether it's weight loss management, something they take very serious, as should you. And as adults, I'm sure you've had that window where you've tacked on some unwanted pounds. You would love to get rid of those unwanted pounds. You would love to shed those unwanted pounds. Well, they've got programs and products and people that can get you headed back in the right direction where you were before. Rejuvenation, your appearance is important, and it's tougher as we age. Well, their staff can sit down with you and talk about PRP, hair removal, Botox, also hormone therapy. Have you ever had your levels checked? You realize as we get older, they dip. And when they dip, they affect you. Could affect your drive. It could affect your energy. It could affect your mood. It could just affect the way you feel on a regular basis. You're going to feel a little bit off. Well, they could talk to you about that. Their experienced staff can discuss BHRT, testosterone, estrogen. They do it all over there. Dr. Jeffrey Lodge is the board-certified physician. His wife, Daphne, is the registered nurse, and they can help you. They house, as you've heard me say, a lot of things under one roof there in Cool Springs at 1642 Westgate Circle. If you'd like to learn everything about them, go to their website, coolspringsmd.com, or you can always pick up the phone and schedule an appointment or a consultation by dialing this number, 615-283-7291. That's 283-7291.